Welcome to another inspirational teaching from Bridge Family Church. This message was recorded live at our weekly Sunday service. For more information, visit us online at www.bridgefamilychurch.com. We hope that you'll be encouraged and challenged as you listen to this week's message.
It is my privilege this morning to introduce our interim pastors. Many of you guys had an opportunity to meet Pastor Mike and Sherry over the years as they helped out with worship through times. They have a heart. They're also missionaries here in Scotland. They have a heart to reach out to people. We met them several years ago now, and when we sat down with them at Five Guys, right before we asked them to take over, and then the Lord just kind of laid on our heart, hey, these guys would be great. So ask them to come across and see if they want to intern for us. And they agreed to say yes, and it was a lot of great pieces working together and just showing more and more of God's faithfulness. So I want you guys to stand to your feet this morning and welcome Pastor Mike Johngrass as he shares the message today this morning here at Bridge Family Church.
Well, I just want to say for you guys, Pastors Dave and Julie, you guys know you have the best, and we just love you guys. And so together we're going to get through the transition, all of us together, and it's wonderful. You're going for a time, but you got a family here that loves you, and of course we'll continue to pray for you, and we'll get through all this together. And I can't even begin for a second. I'm going to ask my lovely wife if she'll stand. She's going to kill me and be embarrassed. Today is our anniversary. We're celebrating 23 years. And we were laughing because it was 23 years ago. I mean, we were just kids, didn't know anything. I was 9 years old. But we didn't know anything. And I said, you know, it was so funny was I remember that day. And I remember the preacher came in and I said, is she here? Like, she showed up? Like, and it's like, what an adventure that we've had. And so I love you and just wanted to take a second to honor you. And yeah, I know you're probably going to kill me later, so. But if you want to put on the first slide, I want to talk to you today about revelation and not information. And God gave this to me a few years ago as we were preparing, actually 2 years ago, we were going to Paris. Anybody been to Paris? Beautiful city. I had never been. In my mind, I thought Paris was like 2 million people and what have you. There we are. There we are in Paris at the Eiffel Tower. And we had a person that was able to take a photo of the two of us, so we weren't it. But, no. Which, yeah. Actually, that was from our cloud. They did run away with our camera, but thanks, James. No, I'm just joking. I'm totally joking. But I'm one of those, I don't know if it's a guy thing, but I remember researching everything about going to Paris. I wanted to know demographics. Like I said, I thought it was like 2 million people, and a friend of mine's like, oh, no, it's way more people than that. And so I didn't know that, and so I wanted to see how big the city was. We had friends, missionary friends that were there, and they were telling us places to go and see and eat, even telling us different arrondissements to stay in, and I didn't know anything. I was watching YouTube videos on how do you get out of the airport to the train to get to the city where you were going. And I was just doing all of this, and I just gathered information. We had maps and we had things. And I don't know if it's a guy thing, but that's what we did. And I remember that. But if you go to that next slide again. But walking from the train and seeing the Eiffel Tower in person. The way we did it, we came in off this train. You went down under this thing and there it was. The color of it was different than it looked in films. It was bigger. And God said to me, that is revelation. All of the things that you can read, all the studies that you can do, revelation changes everything. And revelation is what we need. And so I want to talk about just the difference between information and revelation. And information, I see in churches where people are just reading their Bible. They're going here and there, and they want a word from God, and they're spending money on conferences, and they keep gathering and amassing information. But we truly need a revelation in our hearts. So information, just by definition, is knowledge communicated or received concerning a fact or circumstance. Like news, you turn on your morning news and you get just bombarded with information. So some synonyms would be like facts or intelligence, knowledge, wisdom, things like that. And so we gather information. And it's not bad. We want information. Sometimes I'm one of those, I remember they came out with a thing called headline news. Because I don't want to know, you know, what was going on with this or that. I want the headlines. I want to know big things. I want information quickly. But revelation, by definition, is the act of revealing or disclosing something revealed or disclosed, especially a striking disclosure, as if something not before realized. And in theology, it's God's disclosure of himself and his will to his creation. Something thus communicated or disclosed, something that contains disclosure like the Bible. In other words, revelation is God disclosing to humanity truths that they would not otherwise know. Things human beings could not find out truths for themselves. It's those times when you're reading the scripture and it just becomes alive to you. And that happens sometimes. You're reading it, it may be a passage you've read many times before, and all of a sudden it just kind of jumps off the page to you. Or God's highlighting something, or he's giving you some kind of revelation. And it's like kind of like God illuminating something to us. You guys know what I'm talking about? Have you had that happen? My friend used to say, don't shout me down if I'm preaching good. So you're welcome to say something or not. It's okay. Please don't throw tomatoes. And I remember hearing the story of the Booths, William and Catherine Booth from the Salvation Army. And it says that as they would march and they would do their things, people would throw dead animals at them. And just the most awful thing. So please. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Let me know, and we'll reschedule something. But it talks how Jesus in the Bible, how he went to Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they answered, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or just one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. There was a revelation. He had walked with them. They ate together. They did ministry together. But at that moment, there was a revelation that Peter had of who Jesus was, that he wasn't just another man. He wasn't one of the prophets. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah, the anointed one of God. In 1 Samuel 3:1, it says the prophetic call of Samuel, and the verses that I'm using are out of the Amplified. And I always like the Amplified. I don't always preach from the Amplified, but I like the Amplified because I like to say it's amplified. It's louder than just a regular version of the Bible, right? Now the boy Samuel was attending to the service of the Lord under the supervision of Eli. The word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. Visions, that is, new revelations of divine truth, were not widespread. And if you remember in the story, that's where God began to call audibly out to Samuel. And Eli finally recognized, that's the Lord calling to you, and answer him thus. But revelation wasn't widely known. There was not many times where people knew what God was up to and wanted to do. In fact, Samuel went on to be a prophet of the Lord, and it said that not a word that he spoke fell to the ground, but did not fulfill with what he said. He was just the God's prophet. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, and I always wondered about that, no vision, you know, is it seeing something into the future? You know, people talk about visions, you know, seeing things, but I like what it says in the Amplified, no revelation of God and his word. The people are unrestrained. So where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. Luke 2:32. And I do have a bunch of scriptures up, but I don't have that many slides. And so I hope you guys, I should have said in the beginning, I'm working on a dissertation. So this will probably be a 3.5 to 5 hour message today. So there's food there, and we'll get through. We'll sustain you. Totally joking. I do like to joke and have fun, and so forgive me. But Luke 2:32 says, this is speaking of Jesus, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Thank God. As a Gentile, thank God. To disclose what was previously unknown, to bring praise and honor and glory to your people Israel. He came for to be a revelation, to disclose what was unknown. The plan of God hidden from the beginning, Jesus revealed God's plan for the redemption of all humanity. Another story of revelation is the story of Elisha, and it'll come up. And they're having, I'll read it, 2 Kings 6, beginning in 15. When the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, behold, an army of horses and chariots was around the city. Elisha's servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Elisha answered, "Fear not, for those with us are more than those with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, I pray you, open the eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw and behold, and he saw and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Sometimes the revelation of God is giving us that more information that we didn't know or revelation we didn't know. This young man sees these soldiers coming. They were coming to either arrest or kill Elisha. But Elisha, the man of God, the prophet of God, saw into the spirit realm, and he saw that there was much more on their side with angels and protectors of the Lord. And so he asks for his servant's eyes to be opened. We need to have our eyes opened. Sometimes we get so bogged down with almost fear at times. The enemy roars and he does his things and we become afraid. But sometimes we need to pray, God, open our eyes, because the Bible says that that is within me is greater than he that's in the world. He that is within me is greater, and we forget that. And sometimes we're timid and we're afraid and we shouldn't live that way. We need to have our eyes opened. We need the revelation of God. So why do we need revelation? Why do we need revelation? 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural or the unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness." And if you talk to a natural unbelieving man, it's foolishness. It's foolishness. They don't grasp it. They don't understand or accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness. They're absurd and illogical to him. And he is not capable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated. And he is unqualified to judge spiritual matters. They are spiritually discerned and appreciated. See, we need the revelations of God. We need the Spirit of God reveals that to us. And it sounds illogical. When you talk to someone on the street, it's illogical. Their mind just doesn't comprehend it. It's just illogical. And in a sense, it kind of is. I remember somebody just giving a very simple salvation message, and they were like, "Jesus paid for everything that all the sins that we did, and we don't have to, and that we also can go to heaven." And it was just a simple thing. And I was listening, and I thought, that sounds foolish. Like, it sounds so simple. You mean somebody took care of that? Somebody already paid for that? Do you guys remember a few years ago when someone would go, I think it was at Starbucks, the first one, where they went up and they paid for the person behind them? And then it like kept going, and people were so touched by it. And I remember in our town, somebody did that. And somebody came up, and I think they put like $300 down. And like we're like, we'll cover everyone else for the next few hours. And I think it went on for like 11 days. And so you would walk up, and they'd say, "Oh, you're whatever you got, it's already paid for." And people were just baffled. And that's really what Christ has done for us. It's paid for. We're expecting that there's this bill due, and it's paid for. It sounds foolish and absurd and illogical to an unbelieving man. Revelation is a bringing to light that which has been previously or wholly hidden or obscurely seen. God has been pleased in various ways and at different times to make supernatural revelation of himself and his purposes, plans, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Some of it has been committed to writing, and the scriptures are not merely a record of revelation. They are the revelation itself in written form, in order for the accurate preservation and spreading of the truth. Revelation is the supernatural communication to the truth of the mind. Communication of truth to the mind. God wants to tell us stuff. He has his plans and his purposes. I know for being in Edinburgh, and I would pray, and I wanted strategy. I'm like, you know, God, I don't want to just pray just haphazardly. I want to pray specifically. What's the strategy for this city? Every city is unique. Every region is unique. And I'm like, God, what's the strategy for this city? And we would pray, and I'm like, God, we need revelation. We need to know how to reach people. We need to know how to do those things. And it's through the Spirit of God. We could come up with plans on our own. We could come up, there's minds that can come together and come up with a plan. But I want God's plan. I don't just want a good plan. I want God's plan. How we can reach this city. Ephesians 1:17 says, I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the revelation is that gives you a deep and personal and intimate insight into the true knowledge of him. For we, as followers, know the Father through the Son. We need revelation so that we could know the Father through the Son. See, information to me is knowing about God. And there's a lot of people that know about God. They may know about other gods. They may know about religion. They may know about things. But we can know God. And we have a relationship with God. We need that revelation that we could know him. We know the Father through the Son. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I think that's so beautiful that even when some of his disciples were getting concerned or a bit afraid, and he just says, so if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When God gives us revelation, we've learned something that can never be taken away. After everything that he went through, Job was able to say, I know my Redeemer lives. That's the kind of spiritual revelation God wants us to have. When you receive Christ, you're given a measure of revelation. You know that God is real, and you can begin to know him in a personal way. And that's something that the world just doesn't get. Without revelation, they won't ever have that relationship with him. The Bible says, John 14:17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome or take to heart, because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Thank God that he helps us and he is with us. And so I want to tell you a few examples in the Bible. Besides Elisha's servant, we know Apostle Paul had a revelation of Jesus on the road to Damascus. He no longer saw him as a criminal. You remember Jesus came to him in the vision and said, why are you persecuting me? And he thought he was doing a favor unto God. And God, Jesus gave him that revelation on the road. Isaiah had a revelation of God in chapter 6. And what's interesting was there were 5 previous chapters to that encounter with God. He was the prophet. He was doing that. I'm sorry, I should say Isaiah. I love how they say it here. I just say Isaiah. But there are 5 chapters before that. But then he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And guess what? From that point on, Isaiah's life was different. When he saw God as he was. And that's what I'm challenging us and encouraging us to. Let's see God how he is, high and lifted up. Let's not forget in the book of Revelations, which was, John had a revelation. You know, there was that movie, Talladega Nights, I think it was called, where he's praying to 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus. And they're like, you know, Jesus is no longer a baby. You know, he's grown. And it was a comic piece, and Sherry's face is all red, but I thought it was funny because we had a church in our town, and it was like an Orthodox Catholic church, but it was like our church of the baby Jesus or something. And every time we went by that sign, I would say 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus or however much that he weighed. But the revelation of God is what it's what we need today. His word revealed in our hearts. The word alive in us that will change us. Once we have that revelation, we will live differently. Sherry was sharing this with me. I don't want to embarrass her again, but yeah. She's not throwing anything at me yet, but you know, they could just, your wives can just give you that look and you know you're in trouble. You know you're in trouble. So, but no, but she said this, and this was just happened to her. It's this verse. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And that verse was just illuminated to her. You know, church, when we were still sinners, in fact, it goes on to say even in stronger language that even when we were the enemies of God, we were his enemies. He still loved us and he sent Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. When we have a revelation of who God is and who the enemy is, we're forever changed. When we realize that the enemy is defeated, that he has no power in our lives, and that, just like I was saying, Isaiah having that revelation, John having the revelation of no longer this little Jesus that he saw killed, but he comes with flames of fire and a sword in his hand. And we got to remember that. We have to remember that we have a victorious king. And we have a God that is second to none. He is the Almighty God. He says he will share his glory with no one. We have an enemy that tries to fight us. And so he uses the tactic of magnifying himself. And these problems are before us. We need to realize how big and how powerful our God is. And that comes through revelation. And one of the ways you can have revelation is from the Word of God. Like I said, that you're reading a passage and the Holy Spirit just highlights that to you. And it is just something, again, you could have read 100 times, 1,000 times. And all of a sudden, that word is alive to you. And it's God doing something, and he's doing something in your heart. Like that verse, while we were still sinners. We need to remember that. Because sometimes in life, we think we have to do all these things. We have all these boxes to tick. We have to do all these things. While we were still sinners, he died for us. And he loves us. And he wants to reveal his plans. He wants to reveal his purposes to us. If we will let him. And if we yield. And if we're listening. Because sometimes the truth is, we don't listen. Our ears aren't attentive. And I remember sitting down years ago. We were going to buy a car. And we were at the dealership at the car lot. And it was one of those ones that was so big that they actually had a golf cart to take you to the car that you were looking at. And so this man was just telling us, and of course, how many of you ever bought a car off a car salesman? They can tell you anything, they'll promise you anything, it's something. But, and I remember plain as day, this man was telling me, we were there for a few hours, but was telling me about how he's already like planned his retirement. He's was telling me basically as his whole life planned out. And the Holy Spirit prompted me at that moment to say something to him. And I remember at first, you know, sometimes when God puts something on us, we want to kind of argue because it can be embarrassing or it can put us out. But God said to me, to share to him. So I said to him, I can't remember, his name was Stephen. And I said, Stephen, I said, it sounds like you have your life really, you know, planned out really well. You know, you're going to retire. You already have a home. I think he purchased a home in Florida and he had all of this, he had it all figured out. And I said to him, but have you thought about eternity? And I said, that's really what matters. And so he actually began, and he almost broke down and began to say, oh, he was part of this church and he was hurt and that he had been away from God for a really long time. But those are those times I'm so glad that I listened to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the truth of the matter, sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we miss it. We're in a hurry or we're embarrassed and we don't do it. But that's where the revelation of God, the Holy Spirit, if he's saying sometimes, I mean, it could be today, you could be going through Tesco and you just feel, sometimes we like to talk, or we always like to talk to the people, but sometimes they'll say like, oh, you know, I've had surgery on my back or something. And we could take those opportunities to say, well, you know, can I pray for you? Or, you know, I'll remember you. We pray at church and we'll remember you. Just those times of taking those opportunities that God gives us and having our spiritual ears open and our discernment to hear at times that God's speaking to us and through us, because the truth is God wants to use us. You know, sometimes we want someone else to do it, but God wants to use us in our lives, you know, where he's placed us, in our jobs, in our schools. God wants to use us where we are. And through the revelation, and that's what I believe, that we need a revelation from God, a fresh, new revelation from God through his word, through coming together and praying. Sometimes God has a word and it will reveal something through the Holy Spirit. But we need a revelation, and we just don't need more information. We just don't need more information. Like I said, you know, we're in a society, we want headline news. We have just limited amount of time, and I just can't grasp that much information. But like I said, walking out of there and seeing that Eiffel Tower and having that revelation and smelling it and seeing it, and so much different than reading about it. And so many people have read or heard about God. We need to introduce them to God. We need to introduce them and have a relationship with God.